This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
I think my biggest fear, like, with what I do is throwing up during a podcast. I'm not going to. I would let you guys know.
Yeah.
But it's always, like, in the back of my mind, just so you guys know. Something that I really thought happen. I was going to throw up when I went on TMG. I literally, like, I was an inch away from being like, can we stop? And if you go back and watch, I'm, like, sitting there, like, no life behind my eyes.
What do you do in your head when you're like trying to
That's a good question, Kenny.
Yeah.
Because
I go through that. I mean,
yeah.
I have a very small role. I sit in this chair on Insanely Chill. But I was telling Izzy before this, my first 20 episodes driving to Cody's house in Venice, my hands would be shaking. They'd be so sweaty. And I would have my AC blasting and I would be like cooling my hands off. And obviously that subsided a little bit, but I still have the same thing where I'm like, what if I fuck up?
It's so tough. Cause like in my head, my like first response is to be like, you're not going to throw up. Stop, stop, stop. You're not going to throw up. But like, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to like embrace it and be like, okay, well, you know what? This is how I'm feeling. But that's not going to fly like on the podcast. Like I can't just be like, all right, like if you need to throw up, just throw up right now. It's all good. Like no one cares. TMG doesn't, no one's watching. Like you can't, you know? So in that moment, I think I was just like telling myself I wasn't going to, and eventually it stopped, but it was like a full minute of like agony. And then I was like too exhausted from that moment to participate in the rest of that episode. Yay, though, I love it.
Well, Brooke, you don't always have to be a star.
I know, but you do if you are going to be in the biggest boy band in the world. I gotten so worked up that I had thrown up on myself in my stroller. In my 14-year-old self, I said, those are hot men.
Men.
And look at them now. They're like babies. That was kind of just like a casual interest, which I guess maybe a little bit more than casual. Two housekeeping things. Our Geneva is up if you want to chat. The link is in the description. Merch is out. That link was probably also in the description as well. Awesome. That's where that is. And most importantly, I was too nervous in the first episode to introduce Izzy and Kenny, who are the backbone of this podcast. Could not do this podcast without Izzy and Kenny. You guys know Izzy from Brooke and Connor. And you know Kenny from Insanely Chill, but I just want to give them the chance to introduce themselves, maybe say a fun fact about yourself, which is my personal least favorite thing for someone to ask me, but I am going to go ahead and ask you that right now. Maybe like a little bit of like whole life story. And then also, who's your celebrity crush? So in summary, entire life story.
Yeah.
Fun fact, who's your celebrity crush?
Okay. Izzy, do you want to go first?
Sure. So it all started 25 years ago.
Yep.
When I was an accident.
You were an accident?
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Oh my God. Izzy, I had no idea.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Accident. But the best surprise to happen to my parents, I think.
And to me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll let her know. And yeah, I don't know. One thing led to another. Now I'm in this chair with you all. It's really special.
Mm-hmm. Did you always have dreams of being in this chair?
Mm-hmm. Like premonitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
It first started off as a vet.
And I would see that for you.
Yeah. Well, that's my unfun fact is I'm a horse girl. So it's like kind of in me, but I get super queasy with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pivoted. Couldn't do that. So then I wanted to be a mom for a really long time. And then
me too, Izzy.
Saw what my mom has to deal with. So I don't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
So then I kind of was just going with the flow until I graduated and needed a job. I started in TV, worked with Kenny.
Yes.
In TV.
Yeah. Izzy and I met 6 years ago now on the Joel McHale show with Joel McHale.
No one had ever told me that. Mm-hmm.
Really? Have we not told
That's
you?
No.
Yeah. Lore. We don't really tell that many people.
I guess we don't. Yeah. We were both like clip interns for the Joel McHale show on Netflix. It had a very short run, but mm-hmm. we love everybody who was on that crew. And Izzy and I worked together, and our job was to find insane TV clips, like clips on Twitter, Instagram, just like insane viral videos that were kind of like diamonds in the rough. Uh-huh. It was our job to bring them to the show. And that's where Izzy and I met. Mm-hmm. And then
you guys, that's darling.
Yeah. So special. Yeah.
Is that how you both started working here? Like through, who started working here first? Izzy or Kenny?
You worked with Cody first.
Yeah. So I, during COVID, I was very unemployed.
Uh-huh.
and it actually was Zach Piona, his cancer diagnosis.
Brought you here.
In a way, I got very sentimental, and I used to do Vine. So I have a lot of Piona, Waleed, Cody. I have a lot of friends from the Vine days. And so I was feeling sentimental one day because I realized I hadn't reached out to people in a while. And so I was like, wow, Zach's got cancer. I should probably hit up my old friends. And Cody, I hit up Cody and I was like, hey, happy to see you're doing so well. He was one of my stops, one of my DMs. And he's like, oh, thanks, man. Good to see you. Or like, good to hear from you. Like, I see that you're looking for work. Do you want to like help me with some video ideas? And so I pitched him a couple of video ideas and he hired me. And
on the spot, because you're that brilliant.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that. But yeah, 3 years later, I'm still here.
Wow.
So it's been really nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Izzy, lucky. Did you like find your way here because of Kenny or completely separately?
Completely separately.
Yeah.
I DM'd Kenny on my first day though, and I was like, hey, long time no talk, but yeah. So you know, I started working with Cody at TMG, blah blah blah. And then he's like, cool, like I'll see you around maybe. And now
here we now are. Look at you.
And now we see each other around every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it.
That is a breathtaking story. I can't believe I didn't know that. This is making me like think I need to be asking more questions. Izzy, life story. That fun fact is that you're a horse girl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And celebrity crush.
My celebrity crush. I mean, I always defer to Harry Styles. So I'm going to stay there because it's my safe.
Completely respectable. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, it does rotate, but he is my, when someone says that, that's my go-to. Yeah. I do have like subgenres,
of course. Well, we'll get into that because I really want to dive into the tier list today because I don't feel like I really explained that last episode. So we're gonna dive into that, and that'll give us an opportunity to kind of look at all of our tier lists.
Yeah, we'll do the subgenre.
Yeah. Okay, Kenny, you're up.
Well, I am from Southern California, and I grew up playing baseball, and that was like my life focus.
Really,
I was convinced that I was going to be a major league pitcher. As you can see by where I'm sitting now, that maybe didn't pan out.
Yet.
There's a boy can dream. And at the age of 30, I think I still have a shot.
I do too.
I blew out my elbow in high school, and I had to get a couple surgeries that took me out. And so I pivoted, and I, like most former athletes, I became an English major, where I attended school here in LA, and I stuck around for the last almost decade now here in LA. So I'm like a creative producer writer here, and that's been my true passion for the last like decade now. I love having the opportunity to do like stuff like this, and I think this is much better than pursuing baseball. So
I think so too, Kenny. And I'm not that I'm glad anything happened to your elbow, but I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Really quick question about being an English major.
Yeah.
What does that exactly look like? I've always been curious. Like, what are you studying? Like old, like Bronte?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a survey of, well, first off, I do want to specify, I also don't know what being an English major is. It happens so quickly, and you kind of handpick whatever fits your schedule. So that becomes your focus more so than the text that you want to study.
Okay.
So because Tuesday at 4 p.m. was Canterbury Tales, I just, by sheer force, I had to study Middle English Not because I wanted to, but because that was the only thing that fit my schedule in the afternoon. So you sort of take these random hodgepodge of classes, and then at the end, you don't remember any of it.
Perfect.
Don't go to college, I think, is the bottom line here.
If I could go back in time, I wouldn't have gone to college, but that's we can talk about that later. That's a separate discussion that could take me a long time. Okay, I want to start every Obsessed episode with just checking in to see what everyone is obsessed with right now. We didn't do this on a lot of the Obsessed episodes that have been recorded, but the ones that are recorded in current day January, I want to start doing that. I can go first, I guess, if that's okay. And then
please,
floor is yours.
Please.
I'm actually juggling a lot right now, going through a lot of things that I'm hyper fixating on. A lot of TV, a lot of books. So let's start with the TV. There's too many things on right now. Just binge Love on the Spectrum. Do you watch Love on the Spectrum?
I do not, but I've heard fantastic things.
I love that show. I am so in love with Abby and David and their romance. I saw a TikTok that was like analyzing a moment that they had and just talking about how it had every aspect of like what a relationship should look like. Like they're checking in with each other all the time. They are interested in each other's interests. They are like affirming each other. They are really like, they are the blueprint. And I love them. And the show is teaching me a lot about love. And I love that. I love love. Okay. Second thing, Fellow Travelers. Anyone watching Fellow Travelers?
I'm actually not sure what that is.
Okay. Well, yeah. Kenny, let me tell you. I'm only on episode 4 because it is taking me a bit of time to get into like the politics of it all, and I couldn't even begin to explain to you. It takes place in a time period. Yep, at the time of when they were concerned about communism. I can't give you a date. I cannot give you a date. Maybe 50s or 60s, I want to say.
Okay. Oh, like the Red Scare, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
100%. And that's also the extent of my knowledge of it.
Yeah.
So
what's most important about that show is that it's starring Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey. Are you familiar with these two men?
Mm-hmm. No.
Kenny? I'm actually like happy about that because it gives me an opportunity. First of all, if I ever saw either of these men, here's the thing. My crushes can be broken down into people I want to be in a room with and people I don't want to be in a room with. In a perfect world, I wouldn't be in a room with anyone ever. But we don't live in a perfect world, so I'll have to be in a room with people eventually. And there are some people that I could maybe tolerate and maybe say hi to, and some people that it would be too much. Let me show you Matt Bomer, and then maybe you'll understand why I could never be in a room with this man.
Oh, I couldn't be
in the
room with this
man. Is that like, that is.
Wow.
He looks like AI. Like,
no, he looks
like
AI.
Perfect.
But he's also, obviously, I don't know him personally, greatest guy in the world. He is.
Oh, he's a sweetheart.
Is he? He is the sweetest. The soul and care that he brings to each character that he plays, including Hawk and Fellow Travelers. He is a god among men. And here's him and Jonathan Bailey, who's also just like, are you kidding? I could be in a room with Jonathan Bailey, I think.
But he's also very
handsome.
He's
out like literally drop dead gorgeous, but
yeah.
I don't know. There's something about him that I could say, I love your work, and then walk away. Matt Bomer, I would be completely, there's nothing that I could say.
So you're saying Bomer has the looks, but he's also a fantastic guy. So he's like one in a million.
Well, they both are. You know what? Sometimes you can't explain like why you can and why you can't be in a room with someone. But I can just tell you that I cannot be in a room with Matt Bomer at this time. Okay? So yeah, that's the two of them. Jonathan Bailey is also in Bridgerton.
Oh.
Yeah. That's okay. What he's, I think, known for.
The first one or the second one?
Both.
Oh, okay.
He's the Viscount.
Oh,
he's sure, you know, he's a Viscount.
Shortly.
Second season is centered around him.
Mm. Okay.
And Matt Bomer, he, you know, White Collar. I have not seen White Collar, but he's the main guy in White Collar. And also, most importantly, what he's probably most known for is Blaine's older brother in Glee. Okay, where they give a incredible rendition of Hungry Like the Wolf.
Mm-hmm, I do remember this.
Sometimes I'm like, life is, this is when I'm like, okay, I'm the main character. Because it's like the fact that there exists a version of Hungry Like the Wolf performed by Matt Bomer and Darren Criss playing brothers. Like that is so specific that I'm just like, sometimes I think Ryan Murphy has like a direct line into my psyche, which is like not someone you necessarily want having that direct line. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's Fellow Travelers. I'm having a hard time getting into the politics of it all, but the romance is why I'm there. And also there's a storyline. There's like a present day storyline. And by present day, it goes to like the 80s. And Jonathan Bailey's character is now has AIDS. And I think that it's not going to end well, which is always like a really challenging story for me. That storyline always gets me really bad. So I think I'm prolonging the show to avoid that end. But it's like flashing forward and backward in time when he is young and then present day when he's not doing so great. So that's heavy. Yeah. Okay. On a lighter note. Okay. Love on the Spectrum, Fellow Travelers, new season of Queer Eye. I love Queer Eye. Did everyone see that photo of Anthony and Andrew Garfield? I don't mind pulling it up. Kenny, I feel like you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was going to try to stay silent on this one until you pulled it up.
Okay, in terms of being in a room with people.
Yes.
Oh.
I did see you post this. Yes.
First of all, I'm feeling like they're looking like brothers.
Fully.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, those poses are so subtle, mm-hmm. but they say so much.
Oh my God, Kenny, yeah. I love the way you said that. Tell me what they're saying. When you see this, what's it saying to you?
It's saying...
Do the accent.
Oh, the British accent? Yeah, you want a picture, don't you? So that was Andrew Garfield. And I'm sorry, my eyesight. Okay, so left is Andrew Garfield?
They look like brothers, huh?
They do look like brothers.
Yes, but left is Andrew.
I think you pointed this out in your caption, but this move... My mom always told me that if you're taking a group shot, you never want to cross your hands... Or your arms?
Because it looks like you're
closed
upset,
off.
Closed off.
But this
yeah.
almost says, "Oh man, it's late, but come
That's
on
like,
in for a
I
drink
don't give
anyway.
A shit. Take a picture of me if you want, or don't. Who gives?
Who gives?
Literally, who gives? I want to start saying who gives more.
Yeah,
who gives?
That's a good one.
Why would I get to this picture? Queer Eye, new season of Queer Eye. And now that brings me to my final piece of media that I'm consuming, and probably the most important, which is Mindhunter.
Oh, classic. Mm-hmm.
Which is old. And this is something that I have not seen because it's starring Jonathan Groff, who was my strongest ever tier one crush ever. So I didn't want to watch it because I didn't want to go back to that place. That being said, I've actually recently entered that place again. So might as well kick myself while I'm down and watch Mindhunter. Which is also like, again, this is when I'm like, I'm the main character. Like, we're doing FBI ex Jesse St. James, ex Jonathan Groff. Like, this is like a precursor to Criminal Minds starring Jonathan Groff.
Yo, wow. That's interesting. Yeah. And it's and that show, you see him dealing with some of the most prolific serial killers. I don't know if prolific is the right word. Infamous serial killers of all
time.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So this is like the beginning of behavioral science, because they didn't have like, they didn't understand the way that a psychopath or a narcissist or a sociopath thought. and they didn't study them until Jonathan stepped in. Okay? Until Jonathan stepped in. So this is about him stepping in. Okay? And he's paving the way for behavioral science to open a unit in the FBI, which is what Criminal Minds is. So the link between those two is so profound to me that I'm like, this was made in a lab yet again.
Brooke, I'm seeing some parallels. Let me connect these dots here.
Go ahead and connect them, Kenny.
Jonathan has to sit in a room very intimately with people that have done horrible things that are probably scary to most people, mm-hmm. that most of us wouldn't want to mm-hmm. be in the same room. So I wonder if there's something that you can overcome by seeing Jonathan in the room with these scary people. Maybe that's your Matt Bomer. That's his name, right?
Yeah, good job. Kenny.
Maybe you need to channel that if given the opportunity, i.e. Jonathan in the room with that, what's that guy? He's 6'8", 6'11".
The serial killer?
Yes. Ed Kemper. Maybe Bomer is your Ed Kemper, and you just need, if given the opportunity, you could sit in the same room with him and channel that bravery that Groff did in Mindhunter.
That is powerful stuff, Kenny. At this time, I'd rather be in the room with Ed Kemper
okay.
than
sure.
Any of my crushes, but sure. well said. And yeah. I will be watching that show through that lens now.
Okay.
Hopefully it can give me some strength. Yeah. Okay. Also, so that's what I'm watching. Reading, we're doing Court of Thorns and Roses still. Obviously, this series has shaped who I am. It's awesome that I'm like constantly being shaped. Like, I know there are so many obsessions to come. It's like, I have no idea how I'm going to be shaped in the future, but I'm going to be so shaped in different ways and shapes for so long.
Such a good outlook on life.
It's like so much to look forward to.
Yeah.
I think when we stop being shaped, we maybe lose our shape entirely, if that makes
Did you
sense.
Study philosophy too or something?
I'm just an English major. Okay.
You are really, we need to like start writing down all of these Kenny quotes that are like actually like hacking the mainframe. Yeah.
And then when you see them written down, you're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read.
No, but they're really like poignant, Kenny, really poignant.
Thank you, Brooke. Thank you.
So I'm on the last of the Court of Thorns and Roses books right now. I am going a little bit more slowly through this one. This one is a different POV from the others. So it's not, my tier one is not the main character in this one. Hence me going a little bit more slowly. And also I'm needing to savor the series. So working my way through this, I think I'll definitely be done by the end of the weekend. In which case we'll enter a period of mourning.
I heard that is she doing something where like there's now a metaverse where there's like
Izzy, great question. Happy to answer that. There are three different series that Sarah J. Maas has. First one, Throne of Glass. That is probably what I'll read next. That series is complete. Now, from my understanding, that series is more like plot based YA, less romance, which is giving me pause to say the least. But I'm going to push through because some people like that one more than A Court of Thorns and Roses. Now, then there's A Court of Thorns and Roses, which is actually still ongoing, believe it or not. We can expect another book. That day is going to be the most insane day in the studio space. Okay? Then there's the Crescent City series, which is a new book is coming out in like a few weeks, the third book. Those books are like my height. Like they're like 1,000 pages and apparently like very, very intense fantasy, which I'll probably have a hard time with because that's always tricky, you know, to enter a different world. It takes a little bit to get on your feet in a new world. So
especially with a book of that size.
Especially with a book of that size. Yeah. But somehow they like all connect somehow, and there's like Easter eggs, I think. So I'll let you know as I progress into the other series after my period of mourning.
I'll respect it.
When finishing this book.
May I ask, how do you mourn?
I think I would just mourn by not reading, not partaking in literature for maybe a week or so, taking a breath and some time to think about what I've read. And when I say mourn, it's really more like a celebration of life. Okay, so celebrating what I've read. I'm also really excited to finally get on that side of TikTok without being scared that I'm going to spoil something. Because I so horribly spoiled the second and third book for myself on TikTok in a way that's like, I can't imagine if I had read those books not knowing those things. Like, I would have had an even better experience, which is hard to imagine because the experience that I had was remarkable. But I can never get to a place where I didn't spoil those books for myself, which is sad. But now I can fully dive into the TikTok space, which I'm excited about. So that's part of the celebration of life that I'm looking forward to. I think that's it. I think that that's all I'm doing.
That's a lot.
Those are all the obsessions that I'm juggling right now.
That's a lot. And I did want to point out Mindhunter, the amount of fan support that swelled up when Netflix decided to end their series was huge. So I've only seen the first season. It was fantastic, but I've heard great things that it was consistent throughout and people were very upset it got canceled. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
And maybe another period of mourning.
Maybe another period of mourning when I'm done that. I'm also, because I'm juggling so many obsessions, that gives me the opportunity to take everything slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I could see me working on this for a few months. I'm doing like half an episode a day.
That's good.
Okay.
That's healthy. That sounds healthy.
You've turned Mindhunter into a half hour show.
And I also lie. That's not the end of what I'm obsessed with. I was just in New York and saw the show Merrily We Roll Along starring Jonathan Groff. What is there to say that's not already been said about this man? If I've been put on this earth for one reason, it's to bring awareness to Jonathan Groff and what he can do and what he's capable of. Not only, first of all, we know he is the voice of an angel. The way that he can tell a story, the soul that this man brings to his roles, it's unlike Matt Bomer. It's unlike anyone that we know. The story in Merrily We Roll Along is incredible. Let me tell you about it really, really quick, and then we can get to the point of the episode after 30 minutes. Okay? Basically, it's a story told backwards. The first scene in the musical is the last scene chronologically. So the play starts off with, like, Jonathan is this big producer, and he's been completely, like, overtaken by success. He became too, like, money hungry, fame hungry. He's lost everyone that's close to him. And then it works its way back to, like, him being an aspiring producer, him having all these friends, him having a loving relationship. And then the last scene is, like, how it all started and how he was, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and surrounded by people that loved him and that he loved.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. Goosebumps.
Isn't that, like, the most powerful thing you've ever heard?
Yeah.
And, like, no one could tell that story like him. And Daniel Radcliffe.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Daniel Radcliffe was a scene stealer, to say the least. He is so talented, the boy who lived. Also, like, how lucky are we? How lucky are we to live in a world where the boy who lived is collaborating with Jesse St. James of Glee? Like, how did we get so lucky? How did we get so lucky? That's what I'll say. The fact that I can pay money to be in a room with these people is insane. Like, how lucky are we? I'm feeling overwhelmingly grateful at this moment in time that I can pay a sum and that's going to get me into the door to be in a room with some of the most talented people of our generation.
And can you walk us through, because you told the story on Insanely Chill that you accidentally bought the wheelchair seat.
Oh, yeah, Kenny, I don't mind. I'm worried about, like, and this is something that I'll just, like, have to figure out as the pod goes along. Like, how, do you think that there are going to be people that listen to this that don't listen to Brooke and Connor?
Statistically, yeah.
Statistically speaking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried about telling the same stories over and over.
Sorry, no, I meant...
No, like, I'm going to. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah,
like, I'm going to.
Yes,
but, like, I just... You guys have to let me know if you're, like, stop telling the same stories over and over.
I will say on Brooke and Connor, there's been times where you guys retell a story, nobody remembered it.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I am going to retell the story of going to Funny Girl. Which, again, like, I'm so sorry. Like, this concept is like kind of blowing my mind. I could pay money to see Lea Michele sing. What? That's awesome. That's an awesome thing to be able to do. I'm just like feeling like overwhelmed by that fact.
Obsessed with capitalism.
I was gonna say that word for word. Got scared. But I was gonna say that word
for everyone.
I'm addicted to it. Like, that is nuts. Did we figure out if I could pay to go to the Tonys? That's like, why am I like so grateful that I can pay money? Like, yeah. Okay. Anyway, what was I saying? Lea Michele. So I needed to obviously go to the last performance of Funny Girl starring Lea Michele. One, because I wanted to see Lea Michele not only sing live, but sing those songs that are so powerful in Funny Girl that she has sung on Glee, which I adore. To be able to see that in person, what a gift. Okay. That's the main reason I wanted to go. But also the main reason that I wanted to go more than that is because I knew that Jonathan would be there supporting his best friend on her last show. That was just a hunch. So I bought a ticket that was like surprisingly cheap, considering it was the last performance and like also like a good seat. And also the fact that all of the seats around it were about $300 to $400 more. But no matter, did not bother me. Bought the ticket, flew to New York, went to the show, and I'm by myself. I asked the usher where M19 is. Was it M18 or M19? I guess I don't need to get caught up in the details, but I think it was M18. Ask the usher where M18 is. He looks at me like he has seen a ghost, which he has, due to the fact that M18 does not exist. It is actually a empty space next to M17, which is why I was having a hard time finding it, that is reserved for a wheelchair. Okay? It was kind of like a BYO wheelchair situation. I had not BYO'd at that time. Okay? I did not have a wheelchair at that time. I said, can I borrow one? They did not have any available for me. So they put me in a room. But I've been put in a lot of rooms recently. But they put me in a room with other people who were requiring wheelchairs and left me in there for quite some time, to the point where I was like, I'm actually not going to be able to see the show, which is like, I truly was like, there's not going to be an empty seat. It's the last show. And luckily, they found me a seat. Wasn't as good as M18 would have been, but still good nonetheless. And it was a seat that was in the aisle, which allowed me direct visual access to see Jonathan. Okay. Jonathan sitting close to the front with Leah's mom, who I would obviously recognize anywhere, of course. So that was, took me aback right away. At this point, I'm like, I'm not going to say hi. Like, it's before the show, he's being swarmed. But I had also been granted a free cocktail for all the troubles that I had gone through. So I decided to redeem that and drank that during the first half of the show. And it is that cocktail that gave me the courage to then at intermission get in line to say hi to Jonathan. Went through some trials and tribulations in the line. It was a very long line. I got very lucky, very, very lucky that there were some really, really sweet girls who knew. I don't know if they could just sense it through my energy or they had watched Brooke and Connor, but they knew how important this moment was to me. So they had kind of let me go in front of them. This random man also said that he would help me get to the front. And then it turned out he had no connection to like anything whatsoever. So then that was a little bit confusing. Then got to the front, and then Leah's mom, who, as I've said, would recognize anywhere, said, I'm actually going to have to cut this off. I'm so sorry, guys, because he was being swarmed. And then I said, that is for the best, because like I've said, don't put me in a room. I said, that's for the best. And she said, no, you go ahead. I think she saw a little bit of her daughter in me in that moment. Like, I think she saw nothing but like pure love. Yeah, pure love. And then had a mortifying conversation with Jonathan that I wouldn't trade for the world. Don't remember what I said except for that his version of Bohemian Rhapsody changed my life. And then got a few pictures that were blurry. And that was that. So I can be in a room with him. I did it. I could be in a room with him. But he's in the on the list of people I can be in a room. Put me in a room with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
in terms of tier list, he's below where Mr. Bomer would be.
It's tough because it's like a different tier list. It's like a different, like I don't want, he's not below. It's just like a different type of categorization. Which brings me to, what are you guys obsessed with, by the way, recently? Before I get into the tier list of it all.
I've been obsessed with the word Pookie.
Oh my God.
Because of that couple on TikTok. Yeah. Have you seen them? It's like the Southern couple.
No.
And this guy will go, his name's Jet and I forget her name, but he'll be like, Pookie's looking extra nice tonight. And I love that. Like something is, I saw a comment that was like, this is really sweet. And then someone else said, this seems like a sinister relationship.
I'm choosing ooh, that. You know, that. I love that word, sinister.
I know. And I can't have my own opinions. So once I saw that, I got scared.
Can I pull them up?
Yeah. I think if you just look up like TikTok.
Let me just head over to TikTok.com.
Mm-hmm.
My hands are so sweaty that they're sticking to the keys. And I can't like, it's like I'm having a hard time. Okay. Is it them?
Yep.
Taking Pookie to a new spot tonight with three other couples, and Pookie looks absolutely amazing. Good Lord, babe, I love you all black.
Thank you. I'm wearing my Kelly. I'm so excited. And then I have on
she's AI.
Denim, Revolve, little yep. waist top, Revolve sweater, and J-Lo heels.
I'm wearing a late Christmas present from Campbell. Jacket is Gutteridge. Shirt, Gutteridge also at the store. Uh-huh. Italy, Hermes belt. Beijing, jeans uh-huh. as always. And Ostrich, Luke Hayes tonight.
Yeah.
Wow, you sure are.
I love the way he yeah. says Pookie.
Pookie.
I don't know if I'm sensing something sinister. I would have to do a deeper dive.
Yeah. I keep it very surface level with this couple. I don't want to know their backstory. Yeah. I just want to know their outfits of the day and how Pookie's looking.
I like, don't looking. Know much about the South, but I, from what I have gleamed, like the couple, there's a very unique dynamic looks wise in the South. And that's all I'll say.
We should have Connor explain it. When
yeah,
he's
he'd
on.
Say yeah, it in a way that I'm afraid to, but he could get away with it because he's a man. So, yeah, that's all I'll say on that.
We love our Pookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless them. Seriously. Kenny, well, are you obsessed with anything?
I do want to say I'm obsessed with the fan engagement that we got with the bus stops.
Oh, Kenny, glad you brought that up. Me
I
too.
Don't want to jump ahead, but I have been completely, genuinely obsessed. They let us do this idea mm-hmm. where originally we wanted a billboard. That is something that we did not realize. We did not account for how expensive mm-hmm. a billboard rental is here in Los Angeles. so we got creative with it. And if you haven't heard or seen, we have several bus stops around Los Angeles. Some of them with Brooke's face. Marketing the show. Some are simply tickets mm-hmm. that and they feature a QR code mm-hmm. that takes you to the YouTube site, the channel. And we're so excited that like went smoothly. And we want to thank everybody who went to these bus stops to take pictures. And we even did a little scavenger yeah. hunt, mm-hmm. Izzy and I. Yeah.
That was such a good idea.
Yeah,
too.
That was really fun to see. Like the views go up on
that
the video.
That was so fun.
I was like, ooh. People are finding it.
Yeah. How many yeah. people have viewed it? Do you remember?
I think now it's 11.
Wow.
So
11.
I'm one of them.
How many
so
are
I
there?
Don't count. 10.
I'm
oh,
one of
so
them.
So they're all found.
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Unless someone's
yeah.
rewatching it, which
yeah.
More power
go, which
to
go
you.
Off.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to, I haven't seen one yet in person, but I'm going after. I'm so excited there. We had to compromise on how many had my face on them. I said zero. And then, Ryan said, how about 10? And I said, how about 0? And then he said, how about 5? I said, how about 1? And then we landed on 2. So that's.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and
6-1 since that matters.
And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Where we landed on that. Okay, let's get into the episode at 40 minutes. So the point of today's episode is to recap 2023, what I was obsessed with during that year. I feel like I couldn't talk about a lot of it because of the strike. So I'm really excited to be talking about like some of those film and TV type things for the first time. Oh, damn it. First things first, I have to review the tier list. I'm not even going to get into 2023 in this episode.
Well, we'll have to do part two.
Well, we'll do two episodes. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I want to review the tier list with everyone because that is going to be something that we reference in this podcast multiple times an episode, I would say. You might have heard us already say, oh, he's my tier one. Oh, he's tier three. Let me tell you exactly what that means. This is a system that I came up with because I was having a hard time conveying how certain people meant so much to me. I felt like that wasn't like coming across well. And I think this was right after I had met Matthew Gagubler. And I was like, no one is actually understanding how severe this was. And then I had to come up with the concept of tier one to explain that. So a tier one celebrity crush is someone that consumes your every waking thought. You cannot stop watching and obsessively consuming content. You cannot imagine your life without them. It actually makes you physically sick that you will not be with them. Okay? Tier one is the most all-consuming of the tiers. I think it's pretty hard to have more than tier one at a time. I've had two before. It's not easy. Okay? It's not ideal. I wouldn't wish anyone that. Have I had three before? That's a good question. I think if it's like a true tier one, I think there are different variations of tier ones, but I think if it's a true tier one, the most intense tier one, you're only having one. But I think there have been times where it's been like a less intense tier one and I've had two or three. I think that's what's happening right now. I'll get into that later. Tier 0.5 is when a tier one has become so unhealthy and detrimental to your everyday life, you no longer are engaging with them. You're going cold turkey and you're put. Tier 0.5 is more of a protocol where you're putting them to the side. You're not engaging with content. You're not talking about them with your friends. You are 0.5-ing them until they can hopefully cycle back to tier three in a healthy way. Tier two is you're doing a deep dive into watching their whole catalog, watching their appearances on late night shows, really doing a deep dive on interviews. You know their whole biography. You know everything about them. You are up to date on everything that they've done, and you are compelled to keep consuming content. It is just like a less intense version of a tier one. Tier three is more of like what I imagine normal people have when they have celebrity crushes. You are like admiring them and loving them when you're watching them, but you're not thinking about them all the time. Like the obsession pretty much is like when you're consuming. You're not going out of your way to get every piece of information about them that you can. I have added a new category to the tier list, which has to do with put me in a room versus don't put me in a room with. So this is called Basilisk. Okay. Are you guys familiar with the Basilisk from Harry Potter?
No.
Oh, I never read
those.
Okay,
the Basilisk. You've never read Harry Potter?
I never read Harry Potter.
Have you watched Harry Potter?
Yes. But I don't recall what the Basilisk
was. Okay. The Basilisk is the snake-like thing from the Chamber of Secrets in the second movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Where if you look it in the eye, you will die.
Whoa.
So a basilisk is someone that, like, the thought of being in a room with them, if I look them in the eyes, I'll die. This came to me when I heard Andrew Garfield was at the Grove movie theater, where I was at just hours before. And the thought of seeing him there was plaguing me so much. I literally was like, I could never look him in the eye. I would die. So then he became my, he's now my basilisk. Where it's like, he would be the number one don't put me in a room with. That's the basilisk, is your number one don't put me in a room with. Mm-hmm. I think that's about it with the tier system.
So it's just at this current moment, Andrew.
So at this current moment, you can have a, you can have a list of basilisks. Andrew is like my top basilisk. Tier one right now, Jonathan. Jonathan featuring Matthew Gray Gubler is what we're doing.
Was he ever a don't put me in a room with him?
Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
I feel safe around him.
Okay.
I really do. You can put me in a room with Jonathan. I encourage it. I encourage it. And give me like a typed out thing to say. Don't let me speak from the heart. Let me speak from the heart and let it be rehearsed. Don't let me speak from the heart at the moment.
You're not freeballing it.
No, I don't think there's anyone I could freeball with.
That could be kind of fun. Maybe in a future episode, we could write what we would have in our on a note in our pocket. Assuming that we would
should
run
you
into-
run into any of the put me in a room with celebrities. Yeah. How do you think a celebrity would react if you said, hold on, I wrote out what I wanted to say if I met you. Let me pull up my notes app. And you started reading.
I think it'd be better than like, I want to wear you or something like that, which is not something I've ever said to someone, but like I fear it would come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's not true, I just would
what
say
what always
stuff.
Ends up coming out of my mouth. And this is what's come out of my mouth when I met Jonathan and Matthew is very much like you say, like you saved my life. Like I would like be dead without you, where I would love to like take the take my foot off the gas a little bit there, just in terms of like my livelihood. They, as far as they're concerned, my livelihood depends on them, which is true. I do not want them to know that, you know, leave some mystery. Okay, that's the tier list for you. Now let's get in to the episode. I think the big obsessions for the first half of the year were the 1975. They are the first band where I've ever like felt like, oh my God, I love music. Like I love the instruments. Like I never paid attention to that kind of stuff. But with the 1975, all of a sudden I'm like, that bass line, like listen to those drums, like I finally like appreciating music because of them. So that was new for me.
They're good at that.
I hadn't really heard the 1975 very much. I haven't explored their discography, mm-hmm. but Izzy would play it around the office so much so that I don't seek them out, but whenever I hear them, we were playing them in the studio before we started recording, and I appreciate their sound. They're good.
Mm-hmm. I really feel like they have a little bit of everything. There's pop. There's that kind of like emo sound. There are some like ballady songs. There are some like rock out songs.
Mm-hmm. There's something for everyone.
There is something for everyone. And the stories that they tell, the music and the lyrics both are exceptional. What's your favorite 1975 song, Izzy Bug?
It's called Menswear, which is like more like, most of the song is instruments,
yeah.
And then the last, it's like a minute song, and it bothers me so much because I want it to be longer.
Yeah.
But if it was longer, I don't know if I'd like it as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is
true.
Interesting. But I really like
just
that
enough
one. Yeah. Leaves you wanting back, more, but not too much.
Wanting to come back for more.
Yeah.
Completely feeling that and also loving Menswear at this time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, check out Menswear if you've not heard that song.
Pause this, come back.
Google Menswear.
Me, personally, you know how I feel about Oh Caroline. That was really like the song that I was like, this changed my life. That started the obsession, really.
I think that's every time I hear that song, I think of you.
Aww.
And I don't think I'm the only one because,
Well, you know what it is about that song? My favorite genre of song, all of my favorite songs really can fall under this category of like yearning. Like I love songs that are a guy being like, I literally love you so much, so much. And that's kind of what Oh Caroline is. Like not like the most I'll kill myself if I don't have you song, but it does fall in there a little bit. It's like, oh, Caroline, I have to have you. Like, I don't want to fuck it up.
Do we know if Caroline has been courted? Do we know if...
I don't... Good question, Kenny. If you watch the music video, which is an awesome music video, you'll see that it's really just like about the boys at the end of the day. It's about the band. That's his one true love. Like, they age together and they're reminiscing about Caroline. So in a way, did he get his Caroline? Sure. The Caroline is the people we meet along the way. Mm-hmm. So if you've never listened to the 1975, Oh Caroline is, you know, there are people that hate that song.
How?
I don't know.
Like, I'm very open-minded to people not liking stuff, but objectively, it's such a good song.
It's such a good song. Mm. Anyway, that's that. I will say this was the year of Andrew Garfield. This was the year of Andrew Garfield. I'm not sure what... I've always loved him. He's always been on a tier three minimum. He's been tier two before, of course. It might have been Tick, Tick, Boom probably that pushed him up to tier one. I guess that was 2022. But then I think at the beginning of 2023, I must have watched Spider-Man or something. And I think that sent me into a place, a dangerous place.
He did one Spider-Man movie or two Spider-Man movies. Okay.
And his are all, like, of course they're the saddest. Like, he's always in, like, things that are completely heartbreaking. Which brings me to another film that he was in that I was obsessed with about polio. This brought me to my obsession with the polio virus. I like really get fixated on deadly viruses to a point that it like gets in the way of my life. But let's head back into that space. This movie, everyone, if you guys like to cry and you like sad movies, this movie, Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy, is one of, I don't know how we're not all talking about that, is one of the saddest and most beautiful films that I have ever seen. It is about, and say this after me because this needs to be a household name, Robin Cavendish.
Okay? Robin Cavendish.
Robin Cavendish was one of the first Respinauts, I think I'm saying that right, which is somebody who was able to breathe with the assistance of a respirator outside of the hospital. So the film is about somebody who gets polio, Robin Cavendish, and he was given like a few months to live, a year tops. And he was like, okay, if that's what I have, then I want to spend it outside of the hospital. And he was one of the first people to leave the hospital with a respirator. Yep. And he completely changed the game. Like, he paved the way for people to live outside of the hospital with respirators. He lived for like so many years, so many beautiful years with his wife and his child. And it's all about like making the best of what he had and making the world better for other people that also had this. And I'm giving myself goosebumps at this time. It is a really beautiful story. Would recommend that movie if you like sad things, and also Andrew Garfield as well. Period. Also, yes, Kenny. Sorry.
Did he get any Oscar buzz? Okay.
Like, yeah. I also hadn't even heard of that movie. The only reason that I had watched it is because I was working my way through his whole discography.
Oh.
Yeah. And that is the one out of all of his movies that really hit the most.
I have to be honest. I never heard of it.
So I hadn't either, Kenny. Yeah. Which is shameful.
Yeah.
Really shameful. I hope everybody goes and watches it. Okay. Other thing I was obsessed with in January, The Mindy Project.
Oh.
Have you seen?
I've seen.
Mm-mm.
You have to watch it, Izzy. It is. I can't believe I wasn't watching it when it was on. I think it was on the same time that New Girl was on air. And it was very much a like, you are watching The Mindy Project or you're watching New Girl. I don't know why it wasn't both, but I can't believe I didn't watch The Mindy Project. It is so, so brilliant. I will say, should have ended after season three. But that's neither here nor there. Go ahead. Do me a favor. Watch The Mindy Project. Get back to me. Last thing I was obsessed with, and then we're going to head to the next episode, was rodents. This is when I started getting on my Instagram reels exclusively pet rats.
I thought you meant like a movie, but you actually mean...
Nope, I am meaning the species.
The species of animal. Okay.
Please look at these pet rats. Like, hello? Is that not the most adorable thing that you've ever seen?
Look at that smile.
It is cute, but we did talk about this yesterday. Tail.
The tail is not
really
easy.
Gets me.
But look how cute.
That is really cute.
That is sweet.
They're affectionate.
They're so affectionate. They are the puppies of the rodent species of rodents.
Oh, good Aww. Comparison.
Yeah, the tail is like not awesome. But look at it without the tail.
Yeah, if we just like ignore that, that's
Oh my God, look. Like they are so cute and cuddly. Look at these two cuddling each other.
That is sweet. Oh, yeah. Whoa, the nails.
Like, oh my God, look at his gorgeous manicure.
They're better than mine with that.
Like they are so precious. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening and love you all to death. And I will see you next week.